We started, if you look at the outline for this week, it is the same outline from last week. Excuse me. It's just a deja vu. We're going to continue this, finish these points out this week. Eventually, we're going to get to the book of Philippians. And basically, the thought in the book of Philippians when it comes to prayer is doing what is not humanly possible, that can only be done through prayer. And that's going to lead us to the book of Jude. And any chapter in Jude you want to study, that's fine, because there's only one, but Jude. And praying in the Spirit. Now, we mentioned last week, I will not go through, you know, all the things. We talked about elements of prayer, and the key thing is the prayer is as normal to the Christian as breathing is to, you know, humans, and it activates the power of God. And in that, the elements of prayer, we talked about everything from, you know, praying in the Lord's name, praying with earnestness, and so forth, and all the elements of prayer. And then we got to two parables on prayer, one in Luke 11 and one in Luke 18. And in both of those parables, we see some depictions of pushing through in prayer. In Luke 11, which Jacob read a portion of a minute ago, it talks about the Lord's Prayer. It's one of two places you see the Lord's Prayer. And then, you know, following up, it talks about how the, you know, you ask and you receive and you pray without ceasing. And we see the parable that comes in place there. And when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, Lord, teach us to pray. He said a friend comes at midnight. And when he comes at midnight, he wants something to eat, and he's persistent in his prayers. In Luke 18, there's another parable. And this parable is basically centers around that we should not lose heart. Actually, we should pray and not lose heart. Now, I mentioned Christian. I think, Sharon, you're doing the 21 days praying for career, business, and so forth. And Christy gives me an update each day. She watches the video. She gives me the update. And yesterday, I believe, was Don't Give Up. Yep. It was the title was Don't Give Up. And so much of the time, we give up. And I can tell you, praying earnestly for something over the course of a long time takes perseverance, but don't give up in your prayers. Praying for somebody, don't give up your prayer. Praying for a situation, don't give up in prayer. I remember a few years ago it became very popular, and it's still an amazing thing that David Wilkerson pulled out of the Old Testament, the prayer of Jabez. Remember where that got very popular? Just saw it one day in the Scripture and said, I'm going to start praying this. And he prayed it again and again and again and again. And it's amazing how the Lord, when he hears that the prayer is your heartbeat, it really is your desire, it starts to activate his power in your life. So much of the time we pray and it's not really our heartbeat. We kind of want a magic genie formula, something to come, and we have not really gotten ourselves in line with God's will. Is this prayer really what I want, or is it just what I think I want? So we get to this third thing, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, very simple verse. I can memorize Scripture somewhat. I've memorized lately, you know, Psalm 103 has been something I memorize and repeat every day. I pray it every day. Advise you to as well. Great Psalm. 1 Corinthians 13, Christy and I, when we were dating, when we were engaged, we memorized 1 Corinthians 13, and we would repeat it to one another. And, you know, it's the love chapter. I mean, it's an amazing thing when you start thinking about that. So I'm not good at memorizing like I once was, but I can memorize three words. You can do that too, right? How many numbers do you have in your head, right? Phone numbers and so forth, and driver's license number and this number and that number. You know, the numbers just run together, right? Pray without ceasing. You can get that. Pray without ceasing. Now, put in context, you know, it is to be connected in prayer. So with that in mind, I start thinking about the benefits, or not benefits, but some of the things prayer does for us. When we have this attitude that we're praying without ceasing, we have persistent prayer, we pray for things. When Joy says, you know, my mother has this situation, we don't just say, oh, that's too bad, but we really pray for her. And I pray for Joy in that situation. Or it might be that we have a family situation we're working on, we really pray about it. Or decisions to make, you know, maybe career decisions. It may be that you have financial difficulties. And all of those things can be brought to the Lord. I want to tell you again, you know, let's quit this thought process that we got to supersize things in the Christian way before we bring them to the Lord. Let's bring them to Him and let Him start whittling on us. It's like when somebody comes to Christ, we don't tell them, shape up and then come to Christ. No, come to Christ and He'll do the shaping. But so much of the time, we kind of get that in reverse. Bring your problems. Bring the desires, your troubles to the Lord. And that brings me back to Matthew chapter 6, which, you know, really the Lord hit me over the head with a couple weeks ago, because Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first His kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. And then verse 34 kind of started cutting through me, and the Holy Spirit just used it to cut me. And He cut me in this way, because in verse 34 it talks about how that you don't need to worry about today. Today's got enough problems of its own, right? Don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough problems on its own. And in there, it speaks of bringing trouble to you, bringing anxiety to you, bringing evil to you. Actually, the word says the days are evil. In other words, each day has trouble of its own. In life, we don't have times of bliss with a little trouble. We have a lot of trouble with a little bliss. And we have trouble. And now here's where the Lord really hit me. He said, Andy, you know what you're doing? You're looking for trouble. You're looking to bring anxiety into your life. And I never thought about this. I said, Lord, I'm just naturally anxious. He said, well, you know, let's quit going there, because I want to deliver you from this. I want to tell you, you're looking for trouble. You're looking to bring evil into your life. And it really woke me up. And what I mean by that is this. Somebody who's built like me naturally tends to look for the shoe to drop. Is anybody else in here like that? You know, I'm the only one. Yeah, there you go. That's honest, but yeah, you look for the shoe to drop. You know, it's, something's going to happen. Or, you know, I want to, you know, it can't be this good. I'm looking under the covers to find trouble. And so when I mention these 10 things, I'm going to mention 10. If you don't have a big enough paper, just write them anywhere if you want to. 10 things that prayer does for us. And they come out of these two parables in Luke and in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and other verses thrown in for good measure, just as a general description of prayer. Number one, persistent prayer, our prayer period, glorifies God. In Luke 11, when He's teaching them to pray, and by the way, it's a very interesting thing when you think about Him teaching them to pray. They went to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, you would think these Jewish guys wouldn't need to ask that question, but they saw Jesus doing things unusual in His prayer life. When we get to the book of Philippians, we're going to compare and contrast personal prayer, private prayer, and public prayer, and how that we need to have a visible demonstration of prayer. Yes, we have times in the prayer closet, and no, we never do it with a haughty attitude, but people need to see us pray. And I don't mean we go into the middle of the mall and pray. You get what I'm saying? Our families need to see us pray. They need to know we're praying for them and so forth. So the disciples went and asked Him, Lord, teach us to do what You're doing. Now, we already know what we do in the synagogue. We know what we do, you know, each sixth hour or whatever they did. They knelt down, they prayed the prayers of Abraham. They did all that stuff. They were religious guys. But Lord, teach us to pray like You pray, because it seems quite different. Now, they could not have asked that question unless they had seen Jesus pray, maybe heard Jesus pray, and noticed something unusual about His prayer life. I remember one time years ago walking into the house. And I walked in the house, and we had a great room. We didn't have, you know, just a great room. And my dad was kneeling over the sofa there praying. Well, you know, we talked for a minute. I went on to bed, whatever. And, you know, I was really, I never got into trouble with Denise. You know, I was the best con man you ever had. But, you know, here I was. But, you know, what are you praying about? Well, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the family. I'm praying for church. Praying for... And you know how, what that does for you as a young man when you're out and you think, what are my parents doing? Well, they're praying for me. Kind of changes your perspective when you're out, right? They're praying for me. And so it kind of put something on me to know that there's a visible demonstration of seeing this prayer. So they asked Jesus, What do you do when you pray? And he said, when you pray, you say, Our Father. And then he said, Hallowed. Hallowed be your name. You know, the Lord is Abba. He is our dad. He is the one we can go to. He's the one we can run to. And we hallow, we lift up His name, we glorify His name. Without His name, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. No healing, no sustenance for life. We have nothing without His name. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I really pray something else. I'm getting to where I pray all the time. But anyway, we pray something else every day. I've started really thanking the Lord about being fearfully and wonderfully made. James, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You think about going into the intricacies of the heart. And Denise told me exactly what the official name, what James had, and I can't pronounce because I already know all these big words and other. But you know, but the Lord knows how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. To hear Tracy describe her situation, thrombosis, you know, yeah, exactly. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I think, and I was reading, listening to Philip Yancey the other night, and he was talking about the book he wrote called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And so when you come to the Lord and you glorify Him, we can know that, Lord, You are God, You made us. You have us here for a season on assignment, and You have our eternity paid for. And so, Lord, I want to be in Your kingdom. I don't want none of it. I want to be in Your kingdom. So the first thing prayer does, it glorifies God. The second thing prayer does, it aligns us with God's will. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, we last night, Christy Mess said, what was the subject today? She said, never give up. Talking about it could be anything from a kid having a dream to a business dream to whatever dream you might have. And, you know, as I think about that, I want my dreams to align with His dreams. Now, I've shared this before. Matter of fact, I only have 10 stories, so that's why I keep telling them again and again. but I tell you what my dream was. See, when I was a young man, all I ever wanted to do was to play football. I mean, is it? Play football. You know, and play football in college. You know, they're going to come calling. We have to beat the coaches off a whole 9 yards. You know, and somewhere after the end of high school, it became evident that my dream was going to start to fizzle out. Has anybody ever reached that point in your life? I'm not going to be able to do what I dreamed of doing. The NFL is not really going to be beating down my door. And so when you think the dream, it's one thing to have a dream. It's another thing to have an obsession. Now, when you have a dream, sometimes God says, okay, that dream really is not for your benefit, and you start to change those dreams up. When you have an obsession, it's something that is coming from here. Andy wants this. And when the object of that obsession is taken away, what does Andy have left? Now, that's where I had to come to the place with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, you know, here I am, a Christian guy, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I said, am I going to continue to play around Christianity, or am I going to be all in for You? And my God died because my obsession died. And my idol had to be put on the altar. So when my idol's put on the altar, all of a sudden my dreams then started becoming His dreams. Now, let me get to the next part of the prayer, and I hope you pray this. Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when Jesus said that, that's an interesting thing. And you think about, what is the will of the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of God like? Jesus mentions that many times. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. Just over the past couple of days, I was thinking about, you know, people coming and sharing about places they've been. And sometimes you can't communicate adequately. You say, you've got to see it. You've got to see it. I can tell you about it, but you got to see it. Who's been to Niagara Falls? Yeah, Niagara Falls, I'm going to tell you, I said, I've been to Nakalima Falls. I've been to the Soto Caverns. I've been there, you know. When I got to Niagara Falls, I stood there and said, okay, this is a big deal, you know. It's the water going across that thing. I said, this is amazing to see. And I can see pictures on TV, all the travel videos and so forth. But until you stand there and you can't talk to the next person, the person beside you, then you see it with your own eyes. And Jesus came to earth to tell us about that place from which He was sent. And He started to describe heaven to us. And He used all sorts of metaphors on earth. You have doors, don't you? Let me tell you about it. I'm the real door. You have water. You had to drink it to live. I'm living water. You drink them in, you won't thirst again. You have ways and roads in which you travel, paths. I'm the path. And so when He came, he said, "Your kingdom come." So we need to know what is God's will in His kingdom. Justice, mercy, grace, love, the whole nine yards. Another passage, Daniel chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. You can read it later. I'll read it to you now, but you can jot it down. "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of your righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." I tell you what, one thing I do in prayer is I cry out to God as well. Sometimes I cry out. It depends where I am. I mean, don't get nervous. I'm not in the DMV in the line. Oh, you know. But when I'm in my car, I do. And sometimes in the house, I'll even, you know, I'm saying, "Lord, I want you to hear me. Here I am, I'm Andy. You remember me. I'm the son of Lewis. I'm the brother of Stephen. I'm the father of Jacob, Benjamin, Mary Catherine, and the husband of Christy. I am Andy. Our family's history has been changed. Hear me, O Lord. Do you hear me, Lord?" And I say it just like that. "Lord, I want your will to be done in my life." Third, what prayer does for us. Glorifies God. It aligns us with God's will. But thirdly, it lets us know that we are dependent upon God for our needs. Now, God has given you so many resources. He's given you the ability to do so many things, but you're still dependent upon Him for your needs. "Give us this day our daily bread." I pray, Lord, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, "Lord, touch me, bless me." I go through the body part sometimes and pray, "Lord, you made my tongue, bless my tongue. You made these joints, bless these joints." And I'd say, "Lord, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Give me what I need for this day." We watched a video, a thing. I get into these documentaries, and somehow Friday night we watched a movie, and I was flipping through Netflix, and I saw a documentary. And it was not coming from a Christian perspective. And it's on the minimalism and all this kind of stuff. And they give all these statistics out about, you know, the things we have and the things we have to take care of and so forth. And it's in the midst of people trying to encourage me to declutter some areas in our house. Yeah. And I went through my closet yesterday and, you know, did the whole stack. By the way, I told Tracy, this is hilarious. You know, only me would do this, I guess. There are two things I'm taking back to the thrift store. I got a jacket like this a couple of years ago. I said, "I'm going to alter that thing." You know, got it for $5. Well, it's going back to the thrift store. Somebody else is going to get it. And there's another thing that's going back. Two or three things with tags on them. And it just, I bought them years ago because I said one day I'm going to fit into them. They were my goal, you know, and now they're out of style. And then I had stuff that's not worth anything to throw out. T-shirts and khakis that I pulled out that I was going to make short pants out of one time. And the whole bin outside is full of stuff just from my closet. And I start to think about the things that I need. And there was a guy on this video, and he wrote a book, and the book is called Enough. And I do not commend the book to you. I don't know anything about the book, but the word Enough jumped off the screen at me. And I said, so much of the time, Lord, it's not enough. And really it is enough. It's that I fear for tomorrow. You know how a squirrel gathers nuts. But you know how many they get? They gather enough. You see, if I'm a squirrel, I'm not gathering enough. I'm gathering more than enough. And I want more than enough. And why do I hang on to things? Sometimes it's because, well, I might need that one day. And you know, you want to be thrifty and all that kind of stuff. And we do. But is it enough? And sometimes we never get to the place enough. Give us this day. Give us day by day our daily bread. James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Fourth thing. Persistent prayer gives us cleansing from sin. Just like Psalm 103, one of the benefits of knowing God is He cleanses us. He forgives all of our iniquity. Jesus said it in this prayer, forgive us our sins as we do what? Forgive the sins of others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In Matthew 6:12, it says the same thing in the other recording of the Lord's Prayer. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He laughs at us. Is that what the Scripture says? Absolutely not. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Circle that word in your mind. And just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He is faithful. He never says, office closed. He never says, not today, not now. Do you understand I'm dealing with stuff in Iraq and you're coming with these small problems? He never says that. He never says, you know, James has an issue and he's in the hospital and his issue is so much bigger than yours, you don't bring yours to me. He never says that. He is faithful. And there's so much of the time I have to start in my prayers and I said, Lord, you know, my attitude was just wrong. Forgive me of that. What I said was wrong. Forgive me of that. Cleanse me, Lord. Psalm 32, 1 through 6. I will not read it, but it is a great psalm that goes along with this, and I'll let you read that later. Number 5, prayer gives us victory. Or we could do like the, what are the guys on the YMCA, you know, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, remember that cheer? V-I-C-T-O. Come on, you know what I mean? And we sang victory in Jesus, oh yeah. And it's kind of like who cried when old Yellow got shot? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, victory. God gives us victory over evil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And now that I've studied this, Matthew 6, deliver me from looking for trouble. Deliver me from inviting anxiety into my life. Deliver me from falling to the traps of temptation. You see, the temptations are not always those visible things, you know, that lure us in. Sometimes the temptations are of our own making and our own mind. And we're tempted to not trust the Lord. We're tempted to fear. How can we spend time with the Lord if we're fearing? How can we really be productive for Him if we are in a state of fear? Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Nothing puts priority in our life like the day of trouble. Nothing does that like a day of trouble. Christy, Friday night, you know, and I didn't lift a finger to help, by the way. But anyway, and she was sitting there, and all of a sudden, a cup went flying through the air, and there's water everywhere. If it would have been something sticky, I would have jumped up to rescue the damsel in distress and all that kind of stuff. But since it's water, I just kept laying there. And she got up to get a towel, you know, because trouble, you know, something small had entered her life immediately. Let's deal with this trouble. We have those things that come upon us without warning, trouble. And sometimes we see the trouble way out there on the sea and it's coming this way. Jonah 1:2 said this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the fish's belly. Have you ever been in the fish's belly, metaphorically speaking? Have you ever said, I've gotten myself into a fix? Somewhere about a month and a half ago, I had some situation, and I won't share it, the gory details, but I had brought something upon myself. And I went on a walk with the Lord, and I do that sometimes. I just go walk, and I said, Lord, I said, I'm just going to tell you, you know I messed up. You know I did. I confess it. I am so sorry I messed up. I would say I'll never do it again. I don't want to do it again. I messed up. And I said, Lord, I am in trouble. Now, my trouble was not anything big. It was just trouble because I needed to be cleansed of this. I needed to set this situation right. It was a day of trouble. Psalm 40, verse 2, He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. That goes back to Psalm 103. He gets us out of the pit. You ever been in the pit? You ever been stuck? I don't know if y'all do this, but years ago, we used to go out into the woods and we'd ride, and we had a guy who had a little pickup truck, and of course it was a stick shift. And the goal was to see how stuck we could get that pickup truck. And it would be fun and games until it got really stuck. You know, we're out there, you know, trying to get the pickup truck, putting sticks down in the, or limbs down in the mud hole, trying to get the thing outside, covered with mud, having a great time, you know. But getting stuck in the mud. I saw a meme the other day, or maybe about a year or so ago. And it just you know, it goes back to your childhood. And it had a picture of quicksand. Y'all seen that? Quicksand. He said, you know, when I was a child, I thought quicksand was going to be a much bigger problem than it really is. Because when we were kids, every TV show, from everything from Gilligan's Island, whatever, they always got stuck in quicksand. And I was scared to walk outside for a while. You know, quicksand's going to give it. But we know how it is to get sucked in and you can't get out. You get mired in the clay, mired in the situation. Milton Russell, who I used to work with, he used to say this. He said, we get wrapped around the axle. And if you've ever been with a bush hog or a lawnmower or something, something gets wrapped around the axle like a piece of wire, it takes forever to get it undone. Give us victory, Lord. I pray for you each day, and I hope you pray for me. Give us victory. Help us to withstand the evil one. Trouble is looking for you. But I'm not going to have any part of the trouble. I am going to be resistant to trouble so that I can minister to other people in trouble. Number 6. Prayer gives us fellowship with God. Growing Christians have a longing for God. Their spirits groan for Him. While we love people here in this life, deep within we long to be free, so that we can be in constant companionship with the Lord. And we can have that as we walk with Him. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for the water, we sing the song, right? So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. You don't think you want fellowship with God, but you really do. Because everything you have is from the Lord. Have you ever just stopped to praise Him? Lord, I thank you for this day. You know, here we are, January the 15th. And it's 70-something degrees. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm getting on Paul's side. Yeah, after that ice thing last week, I used to love cold weather. I want warm weather again. Not hot, but, you know, just mildly warm. You know. And you know, you thank the Lord for that. Psalm 63:1. O Lord, my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, I thirst for you. John Wesley, reading about him, talking about his 1 to 3 hours in prayer a day. You know, goodness, man. I'm sure he was in constant prayer other than that. I read about Martin Luther rising before the sunlight, you know, praying with the Lord. Early church fathers, all the way through Scripture. And here we see even David. My soul longs for you. Early will I seek you. I'm not telling you have to get up early and seek the Lord. That'll be between you and He. But I do say this. The first thing in the morning, seek the Lord. Start by seeking Him. Lord, I'm here today. Before I even start thinking about all these things I got to do. Got to get ready. Got to go. Rush hour. The whole 9 hours. I want to seek you, Lord. Help my day to be. What are the things you put on the piano that does this? Your metronome. Help you to be the metronome for my life today. Jesus, I said this Wednesday night, Jesus was never in a hurry, but He always had purpose. When He walked places, He wasn't in a hurry because there were things undone, but He had a purpose where He went. And I hope we are like that as well. My problem is that I'm in a hurry so much of the time because of things I've left undone. Or things I put on my plate that don't even need to be there. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I am not afraid of anything because I am with the Lord. Prayer gives us an outlet for that. Prayer ushers in the presence of the Lord. It helps us to know His comfort. He assures us. He enables us to commune with Him. Prayer rips our attention from the busyness of this world and focuses it on the Lord so that we might be better ministers in the busyness of this world. Number 7, prayer gives us wisdom from God. There are no books that can give you wisdom. There are no apps that you can go and say the wisdom app and it's going to give you wisdom. Wisdom comes from one place. James said it clearly in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What do I do with my small child when they ask these questions? How do I answer? Lord, give me wisdom. And He's not going to laugh at you. He's not going to put you under reproach. Give me wisdom. It's like we had that situation with Christy a couple weeks ago. So, Lord, give me wisdom. She had a trigeminal nerve issue that had just been, give me wisdom. Should I go to the doctor? Should I not? And we prayed, and, within hours, all of a sudden, this general thing solidified, and she said, I have pinpointed the issue. We went to the thing the next day, and they got that abscess out. And sometimes you pray, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know what to do. You've been there, right? I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step should be. Give me wisdom. Number 8, prayer gives us freedom from anxiety. We'll get more into this when we talk about things of doing things that are not humanly possible out of Philippians. But I'm just going to give you a couple of verses now. You know the verses, but let me read them anyway. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. He didn't say it twice. I said it twice. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll get into that in depth in a couple of weeks. But I want you to think through that. Not only to say be anxious for nothing, but bring your supplications to the Lord. Bring your prayers with thanksgiving. I'm thankful, Lord, what you're going to do. I'm not going to just be thankful when I see it. I'm going to be thankful in advance. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Now, you think about guarding, what do we think? We think about somebody on guard, maybe military. Maybe we think about those guys that stand outside Buckingham Palace, wherever it might be, or a presidential guard. We think of people guarding. In our house, we have guards. I guard the peanut M&Ms. I put them in a safe place. And every now and then, people know this, and Chris, I'll have to go to Christy. It's usually Christy and Jacob. Benjamin's usually out, but I go to Christy and Jacob, and I'll say something like this. Is there any chocolate? And they'll say, she says this every now and then. She said, I will give you some chocolate, but I do not want you to watch me go, because I don't want you to know where the chocolate is. And she'll go and she'll, there's a piece of chocolate like I'm a little mouse. So I ask, where is it? Because it's being guarded. Now think about your heart being guarded with peace. I'm anxious about tomorrow. I don't need to be anxious about tomorrow. Lord, you hold my tomorrows. I trust you tomorrow. Guard my heart so that my heart might be in peace tonight about what is coming tomorrow. Guard my heart. Do not let anxiety in here. I won't go down this trail, but I'm going to simply say this. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical doctor. But I think we have enough evidence to say this. Anxiety is not just something that we don't need to do. It is a killer for us and our physical bodies. Stress and anxiety are killers. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Lord, I'm giving this problem to you. I'm taking it to you. We can rejoice. We can only rejoice always once we pray without ceasing. Number 9. Prayer contributes to the salvation of the lost. We are commanded in Scripture how to pray. One place it says, the fields are white with harvest. The fields are ready to be harvested. Pray that the Lord would send harvesters into the field to reap the harvest. 1 Timothy 2, in verses 3 and 4, it says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." In verse 8 of the same chapter, "I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting." Pray, pray, pray for the lost. Pray for the mission field. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your family. Pray for their hearts. Pray, pray, and pray. Keep praying for them. And we desire that we all pray and we continue to bring the lost before the Lord. Draw them unto yourselves, Lord. Put obstacles in their path. Bring conviction on their way. Help examples to be placed before them. Whatever you pray, pray earnestly about this. Romans 10:1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." You know, have you ever thought about the fact that you are God's person in Birmingham, in this area? You are God's person to pray for revival in this area. You are God's person at a company to invite prayer for the people of that company, or the officials, or the teachers, or the neighborhood, wherever it may be. You are God's person for many reasons, but one of the reasons is to be the person of prayer for that organization for which you are involved. Number 10, prayer contributes to the maturing of the saints. Ephesians 1:15, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." In verse 17 through 19, we see what he's praying for. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, talking about them, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of understanding to be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling. What are His riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? So if I were praying for you, if I were praying for Bertie, say, "Lord, I pray that you would give Bertie wisdom. Help her to see in her mind, help her to see in her soul and to know the hope that is within her. Help that to be not only evident for others to see, but help it to be evident to her when she goes through the trouble. Help her to be strengthened by knowing that she has been enlightened, that she has been called, she has been placed there. She has been divinely put in that spot. And I pray, Lord, that she will fulfill what you want her to fulfill." That's the way we pray for one another. Monty Mills, Wednesday night at Bible study, said something interesting. And I said, "Yeah, you're right." He said, "I've been telling people I want you to pray for me. I really want you to pray for me." He said, "We need to tell more people to be in prayer for us and vice versa. We need to have an army of people praying for us. And we need to be part of the army praying for other people as well." If you keep into that Ephesians book in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven is named." And he prayed, and again he tells us what he prays for, verses 16 through 19, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of His glory." By the way, does anybody want me to pray that for them? "That He will grant you according to the riches of His glory." Who wants in on that one? I do. "That to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." Who wants to be strengthened in the inner man? I do. "That Christ may be able to dwell in your hearts through faith." Who wants through faith for Christ to be in your hearts? I do. "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ." Who wants to know the love of Christ completely? I do. "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." Isn't it amazing? "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So those are the 10 things that happen when we start to pray. They start to direct us in these areas. The areas of, maturing us. The area of, salvation for the lost. Area of removing anxiety from a life, giving us wisdom or fellowship with the Lord, victory over evil, cleansing from sin. meeting our needs, aligning us with God's will, but most of all, glorifying God. That's what happens when you pray. Prayer is not something that we talk about every now and once a year. We have a couple sermons on prayer. It's not something we do at the beginning of a service. It's not something we do before we eat. It is who we are. It is breathing for the Christian. I want to be in contact with the Lord. I am passionate about prayer. I am passionate about you praying. I'm passionate about praying for you. And I hope you're passionate about praying for me as well. Let us pray. Let us actually pray. Father, we thank you for the words in Scripture. Thank you for the encouragement we see from the apostles. Thank you for the example we see from the Apostle Paul in praying and telling people what he was praying for them about. Thank you, Lord, that you taught us the simple structure of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we see in John 17 that you prayed for us. Thank you, Lord, that we see in the Garden of Gethsemane a visible demonstration of earnest prayer. Help us, Lord, to heed the words of praying without ceasing. Persistent prayer. Earnest prayer. Help us, Lord, to learn to pray. And Lord, we know that in praying we will activate your grace, your mercy, your love. But those are gifts already given to us, so they're activated through the prayer. But beyond that, we know that your power to move and to do things not humanly possible will come through prayer. And only you can get glory from that. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.